If you take your Bibles and open them to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verses 21 and 22 tonight. This was part of what we looked at last week, but we're going to piggyback on that and look at a little bit deeper on the second part of what we looked at last week. Ephesians chapter 2. Excuse me, I've got a runny nose tonight and hopefully it won't run off with me. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21-22. In Him, Jesus, the whole building is joined together. We talked about that last week of Him being the cornerstone and that everything is built according to the chief cornerstone. If everything is lined up with it, then everything is right. Remember that. So in Him, the whole building is joined together and it rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I just come to You tonight and I just pray, Father, that You will speak to our hearts, that we will hear You, that Your Spirit will bring Your Word alive to us, and that, Father, we can understand and know what it is that You're saying to us. And I just thank You so much, Father, that You are who we need. You're everything that we need. And I just thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing I want us to see tonight is in Him. This passage says, in Him the whole building is joined together. In Him. You see, we are in. The Greek term means to fit it together. We are in Him. We are joined together. We are the different bricks that are laid that are still a part of the whole. We are joined together in Him. The Greek term is fitted together. In fact, what it means is every single thing fits in there exactly right. I was watching one of those building shows that are on TV sometimes, Fixer Upper and those kinds of, and I was watching one and there was an old house they were trying to remodel, and the floors were original pine wood floors, but there were a couple of places that they were all messed up. And so to be able to match and put something in to match the rest of the floor was very difficult. But this guy that did it, he was a master at it, and he was able to fix it up and to sand them down and to stain them exactly right, and they fit together perfectly. And when the people that were rehabbing the house came by to look at it, they couldn't even tell where he'd been because it fit together so perfectly. You see, that's what God wants for us. He wants us to fit together. He wants us to be a part of the whole body. Each piece is different, there's no doubt. We're unique. We're built exactly as God wants us. And when we look around, we think, well, you know, what is so-and-so doing? And what is so-and-so doing? And you know what? God has us gifted just the right way so that we can be a part of the whole. Everybody doesn't have the same thing. And that's a good thing. Because all together we become the body of Christ. Each person is uniquely gifted by His Spirit. In fact, you are gifted by God to build up His body, His temple, His church. That's why He gives us the Holy Spirit. That's why He gives us the spiritual gifts, so that we can build together the body of Christ. The whole building, in the whole building, each part is important. You see, if you leave out a few parts, what are you going to have? Drafts. You're going to have holes. You're going to have infestations. You're going to have snow coming in, especially right now. You know, whatever it is, you're going to have problems. So every person is important. Every person in the body of Christ is important. We are joined together. Secondly, it goes on to say that we rise to become. What does that mean? We rise to become a holy temple in the Lord. Rise to become means to increase. The Greek term is increasing. Rise. In other words, it's the same idea and understanding of yeast when it's put into the bread. What does it cause the bread to do? It causes it to rise, to increase, to become bigger than it ever was. Now, I've had unleavened bread and I've had leavened bread. I kind of like leavened bread more. because it's just awesome. It's soft and it's good and it's yummy. And you know, so anyway, it's kind of what God does for us. You know, He envelops us and invades us with His Holy Spirit so that we can grow in Him and become more than what we could ever be on our own. It's the picture of a continual building. It's expanding and growing. It's a living building. It's not. It doesn't ever get to the point where we say, okay, we're done. We just continue to add on and we continue to build and we continue to reach out. That's what the church ought to be. You know, a lot of the older churches kind of had a stigma of, you know, it's us four and no more. We're going to, you know, we like who's here and we're not really going to bother going out and trying to reach anybody else because we have a good fellowship here. We don't want the fellowship to be ruined. Well, listen, if you have a good little fellowship with just you guys, then you're probably not doing what God wants you to do. And you could do that same thing at the domino hall or a bingo place or whatever it is. This is not a place where you come and just have your little social times and leave. This is a body of Christ. And it's so important for us to understand that. So we are rising to become. We are expanding. We are growing. We are lifting up the name of Jesus. Thirdly, look at what it says right after that. The building is joined together. It rises to become what? A holy temple in the Lord. We are a holy temple. The Greek term is most holy. It comes from that passage in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah saw the power of God in the temple, and the temple was filled with smoke, and the angels were hiding their faces and singing out what? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Now, why did they say it three times? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You are holy in three different ways, but you are completely holy. We become the temple of God. That means we become the residence. The Greek term is naos, which means the sacred place. It's the spiritual temple consisting of all the saints of all the ages joined together by and in Christ. You see, that's how we become powerful. That's how we become active. That's how we become change-worthy. We can change all kinds of things when we become the temple of God, the temple that He can use, the place that He wants to dwell. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple. See, God isn't messing around. He's called us for a purpose and a reason. He's put us together to accomplish what He wants to be accomplished in us. And so we need to understand that. We are in Him. That's the key. Secondly, in Him, we are also the kingdom. Look at what it says here. Holy temple in the Lord, and in you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. We become a dwelling place for Him. In other words, we become His abode. We become His home. Katokinesis is the that word, Greek term, that says a place of abiding, a place at home. He is at home in us. You know, I've said this before, and we mentioned it last Wednesday night. You know, when you ask, where does God live? A lot of people say, He lives in heaven. No. He's in heaven, of course, but He's here. He's everywhere. David reminds us of that. In Psalms, he says, if I went to the top of the mountain, He's there. If I went to the depths of the sea, He's there. Any place I could go, He's there. He's everywhere. But where does He live? He lives in His people. He lives and takes residence and abides in us. He wants to be in you and He wants to be in me. He's at home. And when He's there, we are at home in Him. In other words, we understand and realize how incredibly awesome it is to have the Lord living in us. That does a couple of things for me. It's a reminder to me that I am worth something to Him. You know, sometimes you feel like you're worthless. Sometimes you feel like, what's the use? You know what? Is anything really happening because of me? Some people even get to the point of saying, this world would be better off without me. And I'm telling you something, folks. If God is living in you, you are the most important place to Him. You're the most important person to Him. And He wants to allow us to understand His abiding grace in us and His Spirit in us so that we can live and grow and have our being. We are the body of Christ. So in Him, we become the kingdom. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. By the way, when the Lord's in us, we have home field advantage. That means a lot in the sports world. It means a lot in the spiritual world. Romans 8, 31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? I got an answer to that. So do you. Who could be against us? No one. Nobody. Not a one. Right? He wants us to become a place where we are at home in Him. He wants us to be a place also of light. The Scripture talks about Him being light, and in Him there is what? No darkness. There is no darkness in Him. You see, we don't have to walk around with a flashlight that's running out of battery. We have God in us, and He shines through us as long as we don't get in the way. You see, you have the most powerful flashlight in the world, but if you put your hand in front of it, what's it going to do? Nothing. In many ways, we put ourselves in front of God. He is light, and in Him there's no darkness. John chapter 8, verse 12 says, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. See, that's what God wants us to be. It says, where? Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, will have the light of life. We need to be walking in Him and be at home in Him. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 15 says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. See, I think sometimes we as Christians know we have the light in us, but we kind of cover it up because we're not really wanting somebody else to see it. Not on purpose, but, you know, maybe I'm just tired today or I'm too busy today. Maybe, you know, we should always be showing the light of Christ. We should always be looking for an opportunity to tell people about Him. Just simple acts of kindness are amazing, by the way. You know, those of us that have lived here in Northwest Colorado for a long time realize that in the winter, you're going to get the shovel. And the neighborhood that I live in is increasingly getting older. All the people, well, except for my next door neighbor, who they've got two little children, but almost everybody else on my block are getting up in age, and they need help. And the Lord, you know, blessed us a few years ago with a snowblower. It wasn't a new one. It's an old one. It's a pretty old one, but it still runs. And it runs fairly good for an old machine. And so when I get through doing all of ours, I go across the street and do my neighbors. And I go next door and do my neighbors because they don't have them. Well, the guy across the street from me has one, but it won't run. He runs half the time and then it quits. And he has a lot of trouble with it. So anyway, that's neither here nor there. But the fact is, when we do stuff like that, we're just saying to them, you know, you matter. You care. God loves you. I mean, a couple of years, or maybe 3 or 4 years ago, when we were gone for Christmas, we came home, and I was dreading the drive back because I'd heard we'd gotten tons of snow, and got here, and I was just, as we turned the corner on our street, I was going, oh man, I don't even want to look at it. We pulled up and it was completely cleaned, taken care of by somebody that I won't mention their name, Wayne. But anyway, I really appreciated that so much. We've got to be a place where His light can shine. You see, in the former temple, the Shekinah glory resided there. And everybody knew when God was in the temple. Everybody knew it. How? Because the light was on. The light was on. Somebody was at home. Right? But He doesn't live in the temple any longer. The temple becomes us. And so His Shekinah glory can now live inside of us and show to other people. Moses saw the light and his face was what? Changed. After he saw the backside of God pass by, his face shone so bright that people couldn't even look at him in the face. Now, people can't look at me sometimes in the face, but it's not because of that light. But people couldn't look at him, and so he had to cover his face when he came down from the mountain because people couldn't look at him. I mean, how awesome would it be if people could see the light of Christ in us like that? Well, if He's living in us, that ought to be what they see. We ought to be a place of light. And we are the kingdom of God. What does that mean? That means we are the exact people that He is going to use to continue to build His kingdom. Mark chapter 9, verse 1 says, "And He said to them, Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see that the kingdom of God has come with power." Now, did they see that? Yes, because they saw it in Jesus. They saw Him die, but then they also saw Him come back to life. And for 40 days afterwards, He continued to speak to them and appear to them and show them His power. And then when He left, He sent the Holy Spirit so that every person who believed in Him could have the Holy Spirit residing in them. John chapter 3, verse 3 says, "Jesus replied, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." You see, people who are lost, they don't get it. The reason they don't get it is because they don't have the Spirit. They don't understand what we're talking about. It seems nebulous to them. They can't figure it out. They think it's some kind of a religious thing. And it's not. It's a relationship with the Lord Himself who comes to dwell inside of us. Acts chapter 8, verse 12 says, "But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ," what does it say? "They were baptized, both men and women." In other words, when they understood what Philip was telling them about, they wanted that. They wanted to be filled with the kingdom of God in themselves. Romans chapter 14, verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking. It's not a matter of doing particular things around here to make sure everything's done right. It's not any of those kinds of things, but it's righteousness and peace and joy, where in the Holy Spirit." You see, that's the kingdom of God. It's not a religion. It's a relationship that He has now come to live and dwell in us. His kingdom. His kingdom in us. His kingdom is in you. And you are in Him. Fit together, different pieces, fitting just the right way, building together the body of Christ so that He can use us. And you know what? It's happening. It is now. And it's happening. But it only does that when we open ourselves up to Him. And we ask Him to not only fill us with His Spirit, but to abide in Him and to live with Him and to walk in Him. You see, it takes every one of us being willing to deny ourselves. We must deny ourselves. In fact, Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. You see, the Christian walk is not a Sunday by Sunday thing. It's not every other day. It's not most of the time. It's a choice that we must make every single day to walk in Him, to listen to Him, to understand what He has for us to do. And so when you put all those things together and go back and read these two verses again, it seems to make a lot more sense. You see, in Jesus Himself, as the chief cornerstone that everything is built upon, in Him the whole building is then joined together, piece by piece, and it rises to become a holy temple in the Lord, so that not only are we individual pieces, but we together are the body of Christ. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Holy Spirit. That's what God's looking for in us. He's not looking for, you know, a group of people who are doing all the modern things in the right way or whatever. He's looking for people who are willing to submit themselves to Him completely and allow Him to abide in them so that He can show people what He's really, really like. Amen? Well, let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the gravity of it. I thank You, Father, for the impact that it makes on each one of us who will listen. And then, Father, not only hearing Your Word, but then doing it. Lord, James tells us, we deceive ourselves when we hear something and then we don't do it. Father, I pray that we will hear Your Word continuously in our hearts, in our spiritual ears, and that, Father, we will live it out in the presence of people that You've put us in. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.